Paulista, and it's one of the cities we're looking at. We're also looking at a few others, one of which is Atibaia, and then a couple others closer to the kind of more in metropolitan São Paulo. So we're looking at a few cities as to where to start our church. So you can pray with us about that as far as guidance and leadership on that. But there's a couple things that we get to help with in Brazil when we get there and when we're with my parents and then even beyond that. The first one, early this year, my dad started an online radio broadcast. So we have a radio station that broadcasts 24/7 online. And it's just good conservative Christian music in Portuguese and, of course, instrumental music. And then we have preaching at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. And that's pretty much all we have on it right now. So we'll be working with my parents to help do programming for the radio and also to record more sung music in Portuguese. Of course, instrumental music is international. It's instrumental. There's no words, so you don't have to translate it. You can just put it on the radio. But sung music is a little more complicated. And so we need some more sung music, and Lily and I will be helping with that, as well as some other aspects of the radio station. Another thing that we're doing, and this has been in progress for a couple of years now, and before that, just a little bit of history on this, several years ago, Brazil started changing some laws about education. Before the law changes, for a Brazilian to homeschool their children was illegal. It was not allowed. We were able to do it because we're American citizens, and so they honored our native country's education laws, and so we were able to homeschool, but Brazilians couldn't. With the law changes, however, Brazilians can now homeschool their children, and that's a legal option. And there's two aspects of this. One, keep praying, or start praying that God would help Brazil to keep pushing for that, and there's still some legislation that needs to be put in place. They're trying to push it through, but of course, anytime you try and do something good, there's a lot of opposition. And so it's been delayed and pushed back, and it's not a priority for most of the government. But we have some people who are really trying to push forward and get it through and really make homeschooling a viable and legal option for them and get the kind of legal groundwork for that to be the framework to work inside of. But with that, many Brazilian parents, especially Christians, are turning to homeschooling because the Brazilian public school system is horrible. And not only in the education they get, but also in the environment that they're in. So many, many Christian and even non-Christian parents are starting to homeschool, but there's no complete curriculum in Portuguese for Bible-believing Christians. So we're actually writing it right now, and we started a few years ago, and my mom is doing most of the work, and we have kindergarten through fourth grade done. We have, I think, two or three subjects left to do in fifth grade, and I'm writing the science curriculum for sixth grade and up. My passion lies in science, and I took science in college, and then this got dropped to my lap. So but it is a lot of work, and it is really a huge undertaking to not only organize, but to write and publish and distribute and get it all edited, and of course with illustrations. And in science, you have to have labs and experiments that they can do there, which is even more challenging because you can get things here at a teacher's store that we can't get there. And so that makes it extra challenging. And, of course, it's in our second language, which is another challenge on top of that. So it's been quite a journey, but we're excited to be able to put this out. We already have about six families on the curriculum. And just this last month, we had a Brazilian lady who is, she and her husband are missionary, Brazilian missionaries. They're traveling right now, raising support, and she has just volunteered to represent our curriculum in all the churches that she goes to around Brazil. So she's going to be not only representing our curriculum, but also editing or doing some of the corrections in it as far as grammar goes, proofreading it. So that's opened a huge door. And they also just found out about 80 homeschool families who are looking for curriculum.
Amen.
And there was a homeschool parent gathering, and there are 80 people there, 80 families there. And so we're putting together a brochure right now so that they can see our curriculum and see if that's what's right for them. So we have a lot of people that are soon to come onto the curriculum, and it's a huge opportunity, but also a lot of work ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of the neat things that we get to do with the curriculum, since we're writing it, and there's not really, they're going to get a much more advanced education through our curriculum than they would through the school system there. And so we are writing, so in the science, of course, everything is focused on the Bible and God, and grounded in that. We have the plan of salvation in every book, and it's written into a lesson. So it's something that they're actually teaching, is the plan of salvation.
Amen.
So we already have a family that is Pentecostal in their background. So we don't believe that they're saved, but now they bought our curriculum,
yeah. And
now they're exposed to the gospel, and
yeah,
not only the
amen.
Children, but the parents too, because they're teaching.
Amen.
So we're hoping that'll be used as a tool. But also, so our science curriculum, the first year, the first level, is just learning the 7 days of creation. And then level two, level B, is day one of creation. So you learn a real basic level about light, reflection, colors, things of that nature. And then so on and so forth. And so, for instance, I'm working on sixth grade right now, which is day five of creation. And on day five, God created the fish and the birds. So half of the year we'll be learning about avian species, and half of the year we'll be learning about aquatic species. And then after we're done teaching them what God created, then we'll teach them how we organize it and classify it and teach them taxonomy. But making sure that the focus is always on God and the Bible. So just some new things that we're doing there. And we're excited to be able to use this. And of course, this is just really, it's a tool to help train young people and help educate them in a Christ-honoring way and through the Bible. And it's a tool, just one of the many tools that we'll be using to help grow Brazilians as Christians so that they can be self-reproducing Christians. And so they can reproduce not only as Christians but as churches. And that's the end goal with everything we're doing. We mentioned camp ministry and there's several other things that we're doing in Brazil right now. But all of them are just trying to equip Brazilians to be able to plant their own churches and grow themselves as Christians and reproducing Christians and reproducing churches. And so that's really our goal in Brazil, and that's just one of the neat opportunities we have to be able to use a tool for that. So we're excited about it. We really, really appreciate your prayers. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 4. While you're turning there, right now we're on deputation raising support, and we have been full-time for close to 10 months now, and God has given us about 37% of our support that we need to get to Brazil, so we're excited about that. Our goal to get there is next summer, so another thing that you can pray with us about. We need your prayer a lot, okay? And really, that's the thing we covet the most is your prayers.
Amen.
Because God can do things through prayer that finances can't do.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, God can push the legislation through for the homeschooling. He can make that all happen and smooth out all the wrinkles.
Amen.
Money is not ever going to do that.
Uh-huh.
And we really need your prayer on things more than we ever need financial support. Obviously, we need finances. You need money to survive. But the bigger thing is really prayer. And we really appreciate it. We have our prayer cards on the back table, and you can grab one to remember us and pray for us. And we really appreciate that. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 35 through the end of the chapter. I think this is a familiar passage of Scripture probably for most of us. And we're going to look at it today, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And I'm going to read it, and you can just follow along if you would. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you that we can be here together. Thank you for your word. And I pray that you'd help us as we learn from it today. I pray that you'd help me as I just share some truths from your word. I pray that you'd give me the words to say and guide my thoughts and words. And that you'd speak to each of our hearts, speak to my heart today. And I pray that you just meet with us tonight. And we sure love you. Thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. All right, so Mark chapter 4, there's several very familiar things that happen in Mark chapter 4. At the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is teaching the multitudes, as he often would, and he's teaching them in parables. And Mark chapter 4 is where we find the parable of the sower and the sheep. And of course, I'm sure you've heard messages on that, and really a great Bible truth about our hearts and about receiving the seed. And of course, it's where the sower comes out and he sows the seed and it lands on hard ground and on stony ground and on ground that has weeds and then on good ground. And then that comes up and he compares that to our spiritual lives and our spiritual hearts. And he goes through a couple other parables. And at the end of the day, Jesus has finished preaching to the multitudes and teaching them. That's where we pick up in verse 35. So in verse 35, it tells us that it was still the same day. It says, "In the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." So they're on the shore right now in some ships, and he would often teach from the shore, and sometimes he'd be in the boat, and he'd teach from there. And so Jesus looks at his disciples after the multitudes have left, and he's talked with his disciples and talked them a bit. And he's explained the parable of the sower to them and given them three other parables. And then he says, "Okay, let's get in the boats, let's go to the other side." And so of course they do. And they get in the ships and they start sailing, and you know what happens. The storm comes and they're afraid, and then Jesus calms the storm. I want to look at some things tonight in this passage of Scripture. And the first one is there in verse 35. It says, "In the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Okay, I want to look at that statement that Jesus made. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." See, Christ had a destination for the disciples. Jesus told the disciples, "We're going to go to the other side of the sea." They didn't get in the boat to go for a joyride. They didn't go out and go fishing. That wasn't the goal of this journey. The goal was to get to the other side.
Right.
See, Christ had a destination in mind for the disciples. You know, Christ has a destination in mind for each and every one of us.
Amen.
You know, of course, we could say that in an eternal sense. He wants us to go to heaven. He wants us to accept Christ as our Savior. And that's really, but God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But that's not really what I'm talking about today. Okay, I think most of us in here, if not all of us, are saved and accepted Christ. And if you're not, well, you need to, okay? With that settled tonight. But in every one of our lives, God has a plan for us. God has a will for our lives. God has a purpose for us. See, God didn't just create us to live.
Yeah.
Okay, He created us for a purpose.
Amen.
And He didn't just save us so that we could be saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, He saved us with a purpose. In the book of Titus, we see that God redeems us to Himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're supposed to be, and let me say this, the word peculiar doesn't mean that we're really weird, okay? Some of us are. That's me. You know you're weird when you like when you're the guy who takes math in college as an elective. So, yeah, I'm weird. But that the word peculiar, it means unique. It's set apart. It's particular. We would use the word peculiar to describe an artist's style. Picasso has a peculiar style. That's his very unique style. No one else paints like him. Thomas Kincaid, known as the artist of light. He had a very peculiar style. His paintings, if you get it in the right lighting, it looks like it's lit up. It's so cool. But that's very unique to him. God wants us to be a peculiar or a unique people.
Amen.
Unique to who? To God.
Right. Amen.
See, we're supposed to be a people who represent God.
Yeah.
A people who are zealous of good works.
That's right.
See, Christ redeemed us not to... My pastor has a whole bunch of like really great little sayings, and they're so much fun. But we're not supposed to... This is one of the things he says. Don't just sit around on your blessed assurance.
That's
not why we got saved. We do have the blessed assurance of eternal life in Christ, but we shouldn't just have that and sit on it. We're supposed to share that. We're supposed to live a life that is honoring to God. We're supposed to live out our life for Christ. But God has a destination for each and every one of us. God has, and let me go beyond that. God has a planned route for each and every one of us to get to our destination. Mind you, your destination is different than mine. I would dare say that most of you, if not all of you, your destination is probably not Brazil. Okay? Maybe some of you it is. Maybe someday God will call some of you to Brazil. That would be fantastic. We need more missionaries there. But, you know, our destination is different. Now, some of you might have the same destination even. But the path we take to get there is going to be very different.
Uh-huh.
But God has laid out every step of the way. He knows what He wants for you. He knows what He's preparing you for. And He sees that already. Just like here in this passage of Scripture, He knew where He was going. He was going to the other side of the sea. There's a reason He was going there. The disciples didn't know the reason. Okay, the disciples didn't even necessarily, I don't know, maybe they did, but He just said, let's go to the other side.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they know what part of the other side they were going to. But God did.
Uh-huh.
We need to trust God every step of the way.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
You know, there's some different people in the Bible that I can think of that had some very, very different experiences in God's destination in their life. Okay, think about Abraham. When God called Abraham, or Abram at the time, and He said, hey, I want you to leave your homeland, I want you to leave everything you know, pack up, hit the road. Okay, God, where are we going? I'll let you know later. Okay. Here we go. So he starts traveling. You there yet, God? Nope. I'll let you know. How about now? Abraham had no idea where he was going. But he had enough faith to trust that God did.
Amen.
Sometimes in our lives, there comes a point where we're just clueless. We don't know where to go. We don't know where God wants us to be in the future. We can't see God's plan. I'll be honest, that can be very frustrating.
Yeah, that's right.
It can be discouraging. Mm-hmm. To want to serve the Lord and have no idea where He's going to take you. But he'll lead your next step.
Yeah.
Amen.
He led Abraham's next step. You know, eventually Abraham would get to the place that God wanted him to be. And God would promise to him that land for his seed forever. Man, that was a great destination.
Uh-huh.
That, the journey was a journey of faith. But when he got to the destination, it was worth it for him. Think about Paul. It's a very different way. Okay, this is a very different story here. Paul has in mind a place to go. He thinks he knows where he's going. He thinks he knows where the Lord wants him to be. He's headed to Asia. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit prevented him from preaching the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. That's kind of a head scratcher, you know. To read that the Holy Spirit prevented him from preaching the gospel somewhere? That doesn't make any sense. But Paul had to trust that God knew what he was doing.
Amen.
You know, not less than five verses later in that passage of Scripture, and if you want to look at it later, it's in Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul, he's headed to Asia, but God prevents him. The very next thing that happens is God gives him such a clear call to Macedonia.
Right.
He sees in a vision a man from Macedonia asking for his help.
Right.
And sometimes God will make it so clear for us.
Yes.
But you know, for both of those people, they still had to trust God every step of the way.
That's right.
And by the way, Paul would get to preach in Asia. The whole of Asia, which is part of Turkey, they would all hear the gospel of Christ. But Paul had to trust for the next step.
Uh-huh.
We all have a destination. God has a destination and a route for each of us.
Amen.
But we need to trust Him with our steps. So, the disciples are in the boat. They're going to the destination that God has set. And everything's hunky-dory. Everything goes great, right? No problems at all?
Yeah, right.
No. What happens next?
Storm.
A storm. Verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." You know, when you start to do something for God,
you look out.
That's right, look out. There's going to be some opposition.
Amen.
There is. God's going to lead us through some trials. The Satan in the world and even our flesh will fight against
That's
us.
Right.
You know, if we just trust God and keep following, He'll use each of those things to shape us and mold us and to help us with our destination. But they're going to happen. Okay, the Christian life isn't always smooth sailing, shall we say.
Right.
Now, if you're in fellowship with God, then He's always right there to guide you through the storm.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be storms.
Right. Amen. Right.
One of the things that we have to learn to do is accept the storms.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
God knows what He's doing. Does He not?
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
God knows what He's preparing you for.
Amen.
God knows who you can reach. God knows what tools you'll need. And when He takes you through a storm, when He allows a storm to happen in your life, when He allows persecution, when He allows opposition, none of it happens without Him allowing it.
Yeah.
God doesn't tempt us, but He allows us to be tempted.
Amen.
Why? To strengthen us, to test our faith.
Yeah, that's right.
To prepare us for something He has for us down the road.
Yeah.
Amen.
Opposition is going to come. Look at the next verse, though.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 38, it says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow."
Yeah, that's right.
Can I ask you this? Was God afraid?
No.
The storm didn't even bother him. He was sound asleep. Here, I mean, he's a heavy sleeper. Here's the ship tossing and turning on the waves, and it's raining, and the wind is beating, the waves are crashing against the ship, and I'm sure they're riding the swells. Man, it's like a roller coaster in there. Here he is. Oh, he wasn't concerned one bit. You know, if you're saved today, God's on your ship.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He's always there. You know, Jesus never left the ship here.
Yeah, that's right.
Left them. God has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He doesn't leave. But I think sometimes what happens is that we neglect him. The disciples had Christ, God in the flesh, on the boat with them. The one who created the sea.
Yes, amen.
And what'd they do? Yeah, they tried to do it in their own power. They doubted his power. They're trying to bail out the ship on their own.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to do everything they can to save the ship. Because they were sailors. That's what they did. They sailed the sea. They knew the seas. They knew the ships. They could do it in their own strength.
Yeah, well, look though.
It was a whole lot easier once they got Jesus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How many times do we go through the trials of life and we think, I got this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
We try and just muscle through it, you know. We try and do it on our own. We seek human help. We seek the help of our friends, but we fail to seek Christ.
Amen.
The only one who can actually help us.
That's right.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ.
Right.
Mr.
That's right.
He's the one we should run to. And yet the disciples waited till they were afraid for their lives. And they waited so long that they even asked him. At the end of verse 38 says, and they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they come up and wake Jesus and like, don't you even care? We're dying out here and you don't even care. Well, of course God cares. But they didn't ask. What does God say? Ye have not because ye ask not.
That's right.
God is waiting to help us. God is waiting to strengthen us. And let me say this. Sometimes God will do what he did here and calm the sea. Sometimes when we run to Christ, he'll calm the storm for us.
Right.
But sometimes God in his wisdom, when we run to him, he's not going to calm the storm.
Yeah, that's right.
But he'll be a shelter for us.
That's right.
Amen. That's good.
You know, David said time and time again that Christ was his shelter. He was his rock, his hiding place.
That's right.
He was his strong tower. That's what we have in Christ.
Amen.
That's what we have in God. When the hard times come, we can run to God. And even if he decides in his wisdom not to stop the storm, he can shelter us from it.
Amen.
Sometimes we want God to take us out of the storm and he wants to take us through.
That's right.
Let God take you through the storm.
That's right.
Amen.
But let God do it.
Amen.
Don't try and do it yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
Because our strength is nothing.
That's right.
Let any man think if he standeth, take heed. Something like that. I got the wording off a little bit. Just be careful lest you fall. There we go. If you think you got it, you don't, because they're going to fall. There you go. That's the paraphrase version, okay?
Amen.
No, we need to seek Christ for help. Run to God.
That's right.
So, Jesus had a destination. And they start on their journey, and then there's opposition. But Christ is there to help them. Okay, now we reach the end of the chapter. course, he's rebuked their faith. Why have you no faith? I was here all along. I could have done this earlier. Didn't you see all the miracles I've been doing?
Yeah, right.
You know, sometimes you look at the disciples and you're like,
look in the mirror.
You know, he feeds, 5,000 people, and then two chapters later, it's like, we've got 1,000 people. What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know. Maybe feed them. Goodness. You know, you look through the Bible, and you can get, it can be so frustrating to look at the Israelites and the disciples. Yeah. And just like, how many times they turn away from God, but... How many times do we do the same thing? You know, we go through life and God gives us blessings and He works in our hearts and works in our lives and He's using us and He works through situations and performs really miracles in our lives, and then we come to the next problem when we're trying to do it on our own again.
Right.
You know, we can get frustrated at them, but that's ourselves too.
Come on,
now, what happens if they get to the other side? Well, actually, at the end of this chapter, they don't even get there. At the end of the chapter, they're just, wow, this is Jesus. Man, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey Him. Oh, He's the Creator. That's what manner of man is. But what happened? Why did Jesus cross the sea? He had a destination. Where was it? Why did He do it? Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Mm-hmm. And they came over unto the other side of the sea.
Yeah, right.
Hey, that sounds familiar. Let us pass over unto the other side. Look at that. They got it.
Amen.
You know, if you'll just stay in the boat with Jesus, He'll get you there.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
If you don't abandon Christ, If you don't try and go your own way, you're going to get to the destination that's set out for you. Right. If you just follow Him and trust in Him. And I think this passage of Scripture is evidence that sometimes God will work even if we don't trust. Because,
right.
Let's face it, our faith is weak.
Yeah.
Our faith is so weak.
Yeah. Amen.
And when we come through those hard times, when we come through that, God is so gracious to us to provide for us and work in our lives, even when our faith is somewhat lacking.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that. Otherwise, nothing would ever get done.
Amen.
Man, we have a merciful God.
Amen.
But let's keep reading there. So it says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Okay, that was the destination. Okay, they went to Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, do we know who this is? This is the, we call him, you have a fun name for him, he's the maniac of Gadara.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a man that is possessed with demons. Not just a demon. Okay, this is a man possessed with what they call themselves legion. I don't know how many demons were actually in this man. I know that a herd of, 2,000 swine jumped off the cliff when he cast the demons out. I don't know if all of them were possessed, but even so, that's a lot of demons.
Right?
You know, this is a man that needs God.
Uh-huh.
He needs some help. He is given strength by these demons. They've tried to chain him and fetter him, and he breaks the steel chains. He runs around and he lives in a, it's like true horror story here. Like, he lives in a tomb, in a graveyard, runs around the tombs, screaming and yelling, and he's super strong. It's like, oh, this is creepy. But this is the man that Christ has come across the sea for. And Jesus comes to him. And he has a little bit of a conversation with the demons inside of him. And they cast them out. All of them. That's a lot of demons. And just with a simple command, they had to leave. Because God said so.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Well, then what happens? Man, thanks for casting out the demons. Come have dinner with us. No. They kicked him out. They were terrified.
Right.
This man has power to cast out the demons from the man that was terrorizing the country. He was a menace. You couldn't contain him. And when they come, they just see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. They were terrified. And so they look at Jesus and they say, okay, go. Leave that. Just get back in your boat, turn around, go back across the sea. We don't want you here. And so he does.
Yeah.
Gets back in the boat, sails back across the sea, goes back, right back to where he came. All that. For one person.
Amen.
You know, Christ thought it was worth it to go through everything that happened in this chapter because he knew that one man needed his saving grace.
Amen.
He knew that he'd be able to reach one person. Jesus Christ thought it was worth it to do that for one person. You know, Jesus Christ thought it was worth it to leave heaven in the presence of his angels with them glorifying him all day and night. They sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." But he left that to come live in one of these bodies.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Yeah. Right.
Man, 33 years in a body like ours, leaving heaven, the perfect glory of heaven for that. He would suffer loss and sorrow, betrayal, hurt, hunger. I'd say certainly more hunger than any of us have ever suffered.
Uh-huh.
40 days fasting, you can't even imagine. You start fasting one meal, it's like, oh, I'm dying. Man, 40 days. No, Christ did all of that. And then went beyond that, and he even suffered the worst death he could have.
That's right.
Died on the cross for what? For our sorry sake.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Because he thought it was worth it. You know, Jesus thinks it's worth it for just one person. Jesus thought it was worth it to come from heaven to earth to die on the cross for you. And for the person across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The person across town. Person across the sea. And that's what Christ came for. Right? Do we think it's worth it? Do our actions show that we think it's worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it to us to cross the street to tell someone about Christ?
Mm.
Is it worth it for us to give out a tract at the gas station or at the fast food restaurant that we eat at? So that someone can have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is it worth it for us to cross town and knock on a door? We're going to go across the world so that someone could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it worth it to you? You know, we have a real adversary.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
You know, this story here, I use that word, I don't like to use the word story about the Bible. This account of what really happened,
right. Amen.
Is about a man possessed with demons. You know, we don't see that too often here in the States. Now, that still happens around the world.
Yeah.
That is a common thing. You know, our enemy is real.
Amen. Yes.
I think sometimes we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
We lose sight of the enemy that we have. We lose sight of the destination that God has set for us. We lose sight of the people that Christ died for. We lose sight of that over little things. We decide to bicker about little things. We nitpick on the little things here and there. Mm-hmm. When Christ wants us to focus on what really matters.
That's right.
Amen.
God wants us to focus on the souls that are lost and dying and going to hell. God wants us to focus on the fact that we have a real adversary who's the devil, who is walking around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, Satan and his demons are still at work in the world. But guess what? Christ is still more powerful.
Amen.
Christ is still God. He's still the King of Kings. And praise the Lord, someday He'll come back as a king.
Amen.
I'm glad He came to save us. And I'm so glad He's coming back to take us.
Amen.
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 What is God's destination in your life? You may not know. And God may not show that to you. But are you trusting God every step of the way? Are you trusting that God knows what's best?
Amen.
Can I say this? The will of God in your life is the best thing that you can do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
God tells us that His will is good and acceptable and perfect. In Romans chapter 12. It's good. It's like chocolate cake.
It's good.
But it's also acceptable. Wait, I reversed that. It's acceptable like chocolate cake. It's good like asparagus or like broccoli. Which I like both of those, so pick your least favorite health food.
I don't know.
No, it's healthy. It's good. It's good for us. But it's also acceptable, which means it's good to us. It's like eating a chocolate cake and then realizing that somehow they made it so that it's like super good for you. I would like to find out about it. No, that's what the will of God is in our lives. It's not only good for us, the best thing for us, but you know, God wants what's best for us in the sense that He wants to take care of us, He wants to provide for us.
Amen.
And then beyond that, He says it's perfect. You can't improve on perfect.
Right.
Okay, when you follow God's will in your life, that is the best thing you can do for your life. Whether you see it or not. Sometimes it is a step of faith to follow the Lord. Sometimes it looks like, man, this is way different than what I thought I was going to do in my life. Yeah. When you start taking that step of faith, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes it's like Abraham. He doesn't see the path ahead. He doesn't know where he's going. Sometimes you might not know where you're going. But if you would trust God and step out in faith and start following the will of God in your life, you'll experience the best life that you could ever live.
Amen.
There's going to be opposition, but trust God through it. It really all comes down to trusting God, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Trust God for your destination, for the steps along the way. Trust God to take you through the trials. Trust God to provide for you. Trust God to be God. Trust that He is who He says He is.
Amen.
Trust that He has the power to defeat Satan, to defeat the enemy, the power to save. You just step out and do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Make your life a picture of how worth it you think it is for a soul to come to Christ.
That's good for you.
Make it worth it in your life. Make your actions show that you think it's worth it. Because guess what? It is.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you that you thought it was worth it to come save us. And Lord, help us not to take that for granted. But Lord, help us to follow you and step out in faith and just trust that you have the best destination for us, the best path, and help us just trust you every step of the way. Lord, help us to make souls worth it in our mind and in our hearts. And help us to put effort into reaching the lost here and around the world. And Lord,